Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Chuck Cooper. Chuck is the managing partner at Whitewater Consulting in Charlotte, North Carolina. Throughout his career, Chuck has been involved at the ownership level of several small and mid-sized companies, and he also has extensive experience working in the PEO industry. Chuck's passion is working with the leadership of small and mid-sized companies, helping them design and define HR strategies that eliminate the fear, uncertainty, and doubt they may have when it comes to solving their people problems. Thanks so much for joining me today, Chuck.
It's great to be with you, Diane.
I am thrilled to have you here. And I would actually, I'm curious if there are things that you have seen, like in what ways have you seen leadership change since the pandemic?
So that's really a great question to start with. As I look back over the last 18 months or so, or since the pandemic started, I've seen a pretty big shift in the way that leaders are leading their organizations. And kind of the some of the areas that we're seeing changes in is really seeing leaders becoming much more transparent in their communications and the way that they are interacting with their employees and their managers. And part of that leads to, through the transparency, really leads to them really becoming much more authentic with their people. So, oftentimes people have a tendency, and I think especially as leaders, we want to have the image to our teams that we have everything together and we've got the right answers at the right time. And a lot of, I think the pandemic has really shown us that we don't have, everything together. That's number one. And number two, that it's okay to not have the answers. And then three, how we go about communicating that with our people, I think is really important. So we look at authenticity, transparency, and just really being able to empathize with their teams as far as how they've been impacted by, by COVID and by everything that took place in 2020. So I see a flattening within a lot of times within the leadership organization and just really building more of a community to really kind of pull everybody together so that we're working together as a team and we're working toward one common vision.
Yeah, it is a weird sort of silver lining. Right? I mean, that leaders before thought they were supposed to have all the answers. I always say that they're not expected to have the answers, but they are expected to convene the resources to find the answers and, and to tap into their people and the knowledge and expertise that's around them. But this does seem to be an interesting silver lining that leaders have had opportunities to change the way they communicate and change the way they think about their role.
I think that's very true. And I think one of the other things that I've seen from that leadership perspective is the fact that as we talk with leaders at the time that the pandemic started, and even probably through the majority of 2020, as we saw the leaders that were a part of a peer advisory group, or if they had essentially a board of directors or a community around them that they could use as a sounding board to bounce ideas off of, to talk through issues and concerns that they had, those leaders were actually able to make decisions quicker. They were able to pivot and move their organizations forward much quicker with a lot more confidence, and their teams actually performed much better than those that were in leadership that were sitting in that silo all alone. And I saw several of those situations, you know, in 2020 as well.
Yeah, right. I know. So as we're coming out of all of this, and a lot of places, thank goodness, have reopened, but are there challenges that you see these leaders now facing as they reopen?
Yeah, there's still just a lot of unknowns and a lot of questions that they're trying to work through. And as an example, I had a business owner that I was speaking with last week, and one of his comments to me was, he said, you know, everything that is in my business that is people related, our policies, our processes, the systems that we've used, how we are going to, you know, we're trying to identify the best way to bring people back into the office. Do we let them work remote? All of these situations, he said, we're having to try to find solutions for them and to reposition everything so that we're prepared for the future. And he said, at the end of the day, I'm trying to run my business and trying to keep it profitable. Where do I begin? And so I think that's really where a lot of leaders find themselves right now is, you know, how do we go about being able to help work with the employees to, you know, help them be the most productive and also have some accountability and expectations as we move forward.
Yeah, right. Especially when one of the things that we've learned is the unknown something can happen immediately, drastically, that can flip things, you know, sort of on their head. And in many ways, you can't anticipate that.
No, it's like the pandemic. We had no expectations that something as significant as that was going to happen. And so That's the reason we found that less than half of the companies actually had policies and procedures in place to allow for remote work. And So there was a scramble at that time to try to get, you know, those policies and procedures put into place for that.
Right, exactly. Right. Well, there were so many employers who didn't believe that their people could be productive working remotely too. So they, you know.
That's very true.
Surprise. Yeah. So on the flip side of that, what do you think employees' greatest concerns are as they go back into an office environment?
I think the big thing that they've got on their mind is just safety. They just want, and I think that's one of the things that they've always wanted. And I think that's what employers have always wanted too, is they want to be able to bring their people back, but provide a safe environment for their people to work in. There are certain industries, Diane, where, people have to be on site. But then there are also those other industries that are out there where there's just, you know, the employees have had a lot of time to kind of really reflect back on, on their lives and their work-life balance that they've tried to achieve. It's really, really hard to find that balance. But I think that people are really looking at, you know, what type of priorities do I have and where do I really want to be spending my time? And is the work that I'm doing right now, is that really something I'm passionate about and providing real value or not? And so we're giving a lot of thought to how do we move forward? And so they're really, you know, ultimately they would like to be able to maintain some type of that work-life balance that they've been able to experience over this last year by working remote. And I think that that's really, you know, a challenge for both sides. And how we go about addressing that, you know, through collaboration is really important for both companies as well as for the employees.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so based on all of that, based on where we are today, what do you think the future of work looks like for the small and mid-sized companies?
I think that when you look at the future of work, I think the pandemic itself has actually pulled forward probably the next 3 to 5 years of changes we were going to see in the workforce is actually, you know, relevant to us where we are today. And so I think that, you know, depending on the industry again, I think will determine whether or not they are going to be open to, you know, having remote work. But I do, as we look at, you know, from a global standpoint, and you know, I think you're going to continue to see more and more remote work becoming kind of becoming the norm as we move forward, because the reality is with the technology we have today and some of the systems that we're using, it allows for people to be able to work just as effectively and just as efficiently from a remote location as it does working in an office environment. And so I think that, you know, depending on the level of trust that there is between employees and their managers and also the management of the company will really have an impact on how quickly they're able to move to that new model.
And that really is a huge thing, right? This trust between everyone is really the foundation of growth and productivity and, you know, a good work environment.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at it, was you look at the media, you oftentimes you'll see the, you know, the great resignation that is happening. And I think that there is some truth to that, that there are probably more people looking at moving jobs or, you know, looking at other opportunities today. But I think that if you flip that over, I think the real issue here is more of a workplace issue than it is a great resignation. And by that, I mean that I think that there's over the last probably 5 to 10 years, there's been a growing concern within the workforce that, you know, there isn't a real balance between the work life and then and their personal life, that they feel like that they have to always be on 24/7.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, from that is you're seeing a lack of, from the employer role, you're seeing the employee really being viewed as a line item on their financial statement rather than the asset that they really are to the company.
Boy, yeah, that is really such a good point. And as you were talking about that, I started thinking about one of the things that we hopefully, you know, noticed with millennials is that work-life balance is something that really matters to them and always has. And so when they look at where do they want to work, they want it to be a place where they can have that balance, a place that is socially conscious, that, you know, there's all these interesting more intrinsic sort of values than what they're getting in their paycheck. And it feels like through the pandemic that like a lot of people have decided to start looking at and say, okay, wait a minute, you know, life's short. Look at what can happen in a blink of an eye. I have to change something in my world.
Exactly. And I think that that's one of the things we continue to talk with our clients about is, you know, how they go about leading the different generations within their workforce. Yeah. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of focus obviously right now on the employee perspective, you know, with everything that they would like to have as we move forward. But I think along with the flexibility of work and some of the things that they would, you know, prefer to have, I think when you look at it from the employer perspective, you know, if you're going to be willing to extend that flexibility and to let your people work remote, there's got to be a higher level of accountability as well as communication as far as expectations to those employees. And so they've got to be held accountable to the productivity that they're actually doing versus the hours that they spent working and the attitude that they had.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And so then how do they do that? Because, you know, with remote work, you do get that distance and that, you know, accountability becomes a different thing, but it's also, I would think, hard to maintain a company culture when people aren't in the same physical space. So how do you suggest employers go about that?
So that's one of those, that is an area that is really a big challenge right now that we're having lots of conversations around. And I don't know that there is a golden or silver bullet out there that's really going to be the right answer for everyone. I know that Chris Dyer has written a book called Remote Work, where he you know, kind of lays out his ideas and his thoughts on how to effectively build a culture for remote work. And that, you know, it's been a great book as I've read through that. But I think that there has to be a real shift in mindset from the employer to start with, as far as, you know, just being comfortable about how to go about changing the culture to extend out to those remote work employees that they have. And part of it comes back to really the skill sets that the managers within the organization have. And I think that's really another area where we're going to see some change that will be a real benefit for this relationship with the remote workers. And that is that rather than having a manager manage the team as a one size fits all, it's really going to come back more to a one-to-one manager-employee relationship. So where you get to know that person at a deeper level, get to know, so you can see when they're being overloaded or, you know, if you've got challenges just from an expectation standpoint. So I think the overall process here is you got to have very, very clear communication as far as what the expectations are. You've got to have regular check-ins with those employees, and there has to be expectations that are set as far as the time and the hours that the employees are going to be available so the company can continue to meet its obligations. And then it's just a matter of, again, building that personal connection with the, you know, with the employee based on the values of the organization. And I think that's the start on how we can go about extending the culture to our remote workers.
Yeah, it feels like the shift from seeing employees as a line item on the budget to, you know, an integral part of the success or challenge of the organization, it changes that whole dynamic on how leadership engages.
Exactly. And again, it comes back to that personal relationship. And through that relationship is where that trust is really built and where that can be essentially rebuilt in a lot of organizations.
Right, right.
At this time, I'd like to take a sponsor break. The Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. And I'm sure you know that Audible.com has thousands of audiobook titles to choose from, but you might not know about the other content. There's podcasts, Audible originals, guided meditations. My favorite thing is to be able to listen to different kinds of things all on the same platform. I think it's a time saver and it's like a productivity hack for me. I don't have to go jumping from one platform to another. So we're offering you a free trial. You can go to audibletrial.com/businessgrowth. Sign up for that free trial and then explore on your own. You know, check out the audiobooks, check out the other programs, see what really, you know, resonates with you. Interested in getting some help with your sales strategy? Pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
So let's talk about talent acquisition. A lot of companies are struggling with finding people and therefore finding the right people, right? So how are there things that HR can do to improve that whole process?
I think a part of this still comes back to the leadership and then ultimately to HR to really carry out those policies and those procedures, you know, for the company. But I think that, again, it comes back to, you know, looking at each position and looking at kind of what the guidelines and what the requirements are and really looking at, you know, are you trying to, one, and you have to come back to that foundation of, are we going to bring everybody back into the office or are we going to allow remote work? Because that's ultimately, that's one of the first things that an applicant's looking at in many situations is flexibility there. If it's there, then it comes down to next would be, you know, what is the culture of the organization and does the culture and the values actually align with the majority of the people that we're going to be speaking to? And so that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's really where the fit is being able to continue to develop that culture to where your employees ultimately are becoming fans and very passionate about the organization that they're a part of and the mission that they're on. so that they can become your number one resource for attracting new employees through employee referrals.
Oh, that's interesting. Right. Because they love it so much. So I'm curious if this one-to-one leadership style, does that mean that the management or the leadership should be engaging with each employee to develop a workflow strategy that makes sense for the position and the individual? Should they be doing that individually? Like, they shouldn't be saying this whole department is going to work this schedule?
I think that in many organizations, again, that's going to be one of those areas that you have to look at, depending on maybe on what geography those employees are located in. Are they located in different time zones? But yes, you can bring it back to almost a one-to-one. So you know exactly from a manager level what employees you've got available, at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you know what employees you've got available at 7 o'clock in the evening. So that's one of the areas that you can take a look at. I was reading an article recently as well, where we were talking about, again, being able to manage that team on a one-to-one versus a one-to-many is great. And it's something that is going to have to be, you're not going to be able to set a set process day one and then live with that for the next year. I think you're going to see many companies set that process today, but they're going to be reevaluating in 60, 90 or 180 days to see how effective that's been, and then make tweaks, along the way. And I think that's going to be something that we have to be mindful of.
Right. Right. It's going to have to be more fluid, right?
This is a major change that we're talking about. And it's, depending on the CEOs, and in some cases, Diane, even the age of the business owner and the leadership that we're talking with has an impact on whether they are open to making this change. And for those that are, in the millennial generation, we are seeing their mindset really gravitate more toward these changes that we're talking about versus those that are my generation and the boomer generation. We're really have a tendency to be very set in how we are doing things and the expectations that we have. And we're not as open to all of the pivots that are going to be required to be able to, be accepting of all the changes.
Right. Because we have this belief, this is how we work, right? And I would wonder if we need to remind ourselves that work wasn't always this way, that it has evolved as society has evolved, as, it used to be that everyone lived where their company was, like right there across the street from their company, because that way, we didn't have cars. And you get cars, you get trains, you get planes, you get, different forms of transportation. And then that changes how people work. So work really has changed over time.
I was just doing a piece on this a couple of weeks ago, and to your point, you go back to the early 1900s, and you look at most of the business that was done was just within a community. So you had a business owner and then a few employees that did certain tasks every day. And we went from that to, basically the assembly line, where you were doing mass production of the same items over and over and over, to now we go, to the late, 80s up into 2000, where the technology became much more important and was a driver of productivity and efficiency, to where we are today. So yeah, it has changed significantly over the last 100 years. And I think we are at a point right now where we're about to take that next big step into the way that we work.
Right. So we really need to be ready for it, and we need to let go of a lot of the paradigms that we have set, because they just don't necessarily apply anymore.
those words of it's the way we've always done it. Those are the most harmful words that there is.
Exactly. Right. That's right. And yet we hear it all the time.
Yes, we do.
Is there a way to get, how do I want to ask this question? Are there strategies that if there's people listening and they own a small business and they're going through these sorts of struggles, are there strategies that they can use to start these conversations or to really open up these sorts of conversations with their employees so it's more collaborative than directive?
That is something we've been encouraging our clients to do, really over the last 18 months, is we are a big believer that there has to be a lot more communication and dialogue between the owners or the leaders and the employees. And I think that, anytime you can have those type of conversations, there's just a lot of positives that come out of those from the needs of the employees and the opportunity for the employers to communicate this is the needs of the organization. And you start to find ways that you can build bridges to solve those problems. Another area that we've seen our clients really starting to gravitate more toward is a utilization of engagement platforms, where they have every employee has the ability to log on to a platform like WannaDo, which is one that we have looked at over the last year. And it's been really effective in just being able to provide back to the client the data on topics that are really pertinent to each individual employee. And, it identifies areas that they are having challenges with, concerns that they may have, as well as opportunities for additional benefits that the company can be providing to these employees to really help support the engagement and the overall health of the employee. So those are some things we're starting to see in the marketplace.
Yeah, that's great. I'm not familiar with WannaDo.
They're a fairly young company I think they're either in North Dakota or South Dakota, and they've done a great job in promoting their platform to a lot of small and mid-sized companies.
That's definitely something people should look into, because that's also, I find, one of the struggles with owners and leaders trying to figure out how they can encourage conversation and feedback and input and those sorts of things, especially in a remote environment, in a trustful sort of way.
Exactly. And again, that just, it builds, it gives the employers a lot of data that I think helps business owners to be able to make decisions based on real, feedback and real data versus on the subjectivity or just a gut feel that they have as far as what they think their employees need.
Right. So we should not assume that we know what our employees need, right? We should be asking the question.
Exactly. And back to the impact from the pandemic and everything that took place in 2020, we've all been impacted without question. How we've been impacted and the directness of that is really, it's impacted each of us completely different.
So. Yeah, right. Right. I know it's interesting. I lately have been speaking a lot on networking in person post COVID, and because there's a lot of questions about it. And one of the things that I say is, while we have all gone through this experience, you don't know how someone has had this experience, what the impact has been on them on so many different levels, that we have to be really careful about assuming that everyone's experienced it the way we have.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the reasons that you see the number of cases of mental health issues or challenges that have arisen over the last year as well, is that the COVID has really impacted many just on that personal level, whether they've lost somebody in their family to the loss of income. And so we are also a firm believer that when it comes to the employee benefits, we look at try to look at the employee from a holistic standpoint. So looking at them from their physical health, their mental health, the social and the financial wellness, all of those are interconnected. And so I think that that's one of those other areas that, you know, as businesses, we need to be looking at how we can provide resources to really meet the needs in those different areas.
Oh, okay. So is that like, you know, putting together a benefits program that speaks to, you know, needs beyond like typical fringe benefits?
So when you look at, you know, oftentimes within companies, we offer the health insurance, the dental and the vision, and just really pretty much a one size fits all package for our clients. And the reality is today we have five different generations in the workforce. So they all have different needs that they, and they perceive the value of those benefits differently. And then again, going back to, you know, our discussion on how we were all impacted by COVID, this also plays into, you know, how, what kind of benefits do we need to really be able to provide a very healthy and well-rounded employee, you know, so that when they come to work, they're ready to go and they're productive, and we get the maximum production from them as possible.
Right. So we really need to be paying attention to things that we didn't necessarily need to, the need wasn't as strong before necessarily.
That's the reason that we're a firm believer in the engagement platforms and being able to have that data to really make these kind of decisions as a leader.
Right. Instead of going through the assumption, boy, this is so interesting. I value this conversation so much because this is so timely and important, and we really are moving into a new phase of business management structure, you know, whatever you want to call it. So I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for joining me to have this conversation.
It's definitely a fascinating time to be in the space and to be able to work with, you know, the clients that we work with. And for our conversation, Diane, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to have these type of conversations with people like yourself.
It's so great. Will you tell the listeners how they can find you and, you know, anything you've got going on you think they should know about?
Sure. The best way to get in touch with us is our company website is whitewaterconsulting.net. And the best way to get in touch with me personally is through my email or my phone. Email is chuck@whitewaterconsulting.net. And my phone is 704-236-3131. And if you would like to go to the website, there are some great tools and resources that are made available that we think that would be very valuable for small and mid-sized business owners to take advantage of.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. And this has really been an important conversation. So thank you all. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.